Take your Bibles and go to 2 Chronicles 7. Junior church. Yeah, look at that. Almost forgot. Junior church. If you're 5 years old or up through and including 10, you can go to junior church. Sorry. Anything over that? Or sorry, you adults, got to stay here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, please. 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I didn't leave. I just had to bend down to get a... Wow, that's a funny looking water. That's not mine. I'm not drinking out of somebody else's. It's got diseases, viruses. I will use that to water a little plant somewhere, I guess. But yesterday was July 4th. 244 years ago, America became officially a nation by the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was just a document that was formed here in America, signed by, I believe, 56 men, that literally put their lives on the line when they said, we don't want to be governed by a tyranny type of a government. We want to have a free government. We want to have the freedoms that we enjoy so much in this country. There's a lot of talk right now about eliminating the July 4th holiday and eliminating everything that you can think of. The problem is, or what's behind it, is to erase our history. If the liberal elite can erase the history of the United States of America and then institute their own type of government, then that's what they're trying to do. That's the underlying thing that's going on in America right now. People say, well, why is all this going on? That's why. They want to erase our history to literally start their own history. And so there's going to be changes. I hope not. I would hope and pray that right now our government stays strong enough to the point where they realize that this is ridiculous what we're going through. All the statues are coming down. It's incredible. You know, we've heard a lot. If you've watched any news anytime this past couple, 3 weeks, you know what's going on in America. And we don't like to watch it much anymore. We watch a little bit here and there just to be kind of brought up to date as to what's going on. But it's saddened as to what we have seen taking place. The problem is God is not in this country. The problem is God has been literally kicked out of America, out of the school systems, the college systems, the public square. We don't need the Ten Commandments anymore. Government doesn't see people in government. They don't even want God to be part of what we're doing here. And so they've said no to the Lord. They've said no to God. And that's the problem that we have. The only hope for America is not to elect some great president, you know, and put him in the office, whether it's Biden or Trump or whoever. That's not going to take care of the problems, really, in America. What's going to take care of the problems in America is people need to be saved.
Amen.
And Christianity needs to get involved again. I didn't know what to title this message, so I titled it Patriotism. I don't know what else to call it. I kind of wrestled with the title of the message, but we're going to talk about some things today. They're not too controversial, and I don't know where everybody stands on things, and I don't know, we might get comments today on Facebook, who knows. But I do want to read from 2 Chronicles, starting in verse 1, chapter 7 and verse 1. If we could stand together as we read the Word of God, I want to read down to verse 16. 2 Chronicles, are you all there? 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, starting in verse 1. You know the verse that I'm going to probably be preaching out of today, but I want to give you the context and see where Solomon is at this particular point and see why God is saying what he's saying in verse 14. But verse 1 says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Boy, how we need that again. Amen. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Amen. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. This is the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes in mine heart shall be there perpetually." We are very familiar with verse 14, but look at verse 15, though. It says, "Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." What kind of prayer? The prayer that is mentioned in verse 14. The Lord says, "Hey, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm going to have my eyes open. I'm going to have my ears open. I want to hear that prayer." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together here today. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this Old Testament great passage of Scripture and this verse. And we thank you, Lord, for this passage that we have just read about Solomon finishing the temple and how your glory just came into that place in a wondrous way. And Lord, you also give Solomon, as you appeared to him that night, this particular directive. Lord, I pray that we would take this spiritually today and see how we can apply it to our own lives and to our own church and to this country. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. And Lord, I pray for those that are listening online that you would just speak to their hearts also. Lord, we pray for those that are sick today, those that are dealing with some things in their life. Lord, we pray that you would help and heal. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you that you are a good God no matter what goes on in our life. Lord, we just praise you and thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The verse 14, we, especially this time of year, July 4th, Memorial Day, other patriotic type of days, we preachers, and I get emails and things about 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's here in the Bible for a reason, and I'm not trying to take anything out of context. We're going to take this and look at it spiritually today, and you'll see where I'm going here shortly. But the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, after the house of God was filled with the glory of God. And God gave Solomon, not just to Solomon, but to all of the people of Israel, a directive. He says, listen, if there's a drought, if there's no rain, if the locusts come and devour the land, or if I send pestilence, you know what a pestilence is? It's a disease. It's a virus. It's something horrible. And he says, if I do that, I'm going to give you a formula where I'll heal your land again. And he gave the formula. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. But I titled the message Patriotism. Some people shudder at that word being patriotic. But let me tell you what Webster's 1828 dictionary says about patriotism. First thing he says is love for one's country. The passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and instructions in vigor and purity. Patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen, the noblest passion that stirs a man in the character of a citizen. Defending the country from invasion or protecting its rights. Our rights have been infringed upon the last 3 months when we were told we couldn't meet as a church. Churches today are still not meeting in some places in this country. There are some places on the mission field. The missionaries still cannot have church. They're locked down. They're still locked down in some places. Webster says this about what a patriot is. A person who loves his country and zealously supports and defends it and its interests. That's what a patriot is. Somebody that views the country as something that they can help to be the best citizen that they can be in. I think we as Christians ought to make that our goal. Now, we know that our ultimate love is for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, our strength. We know that. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't have a problem loving us. We love us plenty. It's loving God and loving our neighbor. That's where we sometimes get into an issue with. But we are to care about our country that we live in. And I believe being a patriot or having patriotism is nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't usurp that over God. You still view God as the ultimate love of your heart, but do you care anything about this country? Do you care anything about where this country is headed? That's what we should be looking into. There's three reasons that God has blessed America. Number one, it was founded on God, and it was founded on Jesus Christ. It was founded on the Word of God. That's one reason. America chose God as their God. What America did. America chose God. And God honored that. And he's honored that for these 244 years. Hopefully he'll continue to do that. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock there in Massachusetts, when they landed there, you know what the first thing they did? They prayed and they thanked God for the land that they just entered into. They thanked God for the land. Reason number two that God has blessed America is its missionary and its soul-winning endeavor. Right now, America sends more missionaries than any other country around the globe. England used to be number one. In its early days, in the 17, 1800s, England sent out multitudes of missionaries. But thank God America has stepped up to that particular realm and their obligation, and now we send out more missionaries all over the world. And God honors that. God honors a vision for lost souls. God honors churches and blesses churches and people that support missions and missionaries. And number three reason that God has blessed America is its support for Israel. Amen. We stop supporting Israel, America will decline even worse than it is now. And so I hope and pray that we will continue to support Israel. I hope and pray that we can continue to support missionaries and have a vision for the lost. A blessing to me is as I read these missionary letters that come in, many of them I've read just recently and put them up. There's new ones up there. Missionaries have said they're thanking us, not just us, but all the churches that support them. And even through this pandemic, they have not lost hardly any support at all. Most of their support is still continuing. Thank God for that. We've noticed that in our church. We haven't taken an offering in 3 months. Did you know that? It's the first offering we actually took in our church in the last 3 months. And yet people have stepped up and they've given every single week, and we haven't missed a beat here in our church financially. And our missionaries have not missed anything whatsoever either. George Washington said this, and of course we have a class of people that want to destroy George Washington and everything he stood for, and Thomas Jefferson, and they have all their reasons. But he said this, he says, and I quote, "We can have but little hope of the blessing of God if we insult him by our blasphemous ways." Blasphemies. And we blaspheme God when the brother of our governor says, "We don't need God in government." And our governor says, we don't think that God can do anything with this pandemic. When we have governors and leaders around this country shaking their fist in the face of God, we're blaspheming God. And how can God bless a country, or how can God bless a group of people that just continually blasphemes God? A country will fail when it turns from God and trusts in its culture, when it trusts in its power, when it trusts in its luxuries, and when it trusts in its wealth. And I'll add one to that that I didn't have written down, it just came to mind. When it trusts in their entertainment, a country will fail when it turns from God and trusts in anything else. Do you know that America is a blessed nation? We have many reasons to be blessed here today. We have many reasons that we are blessed. The great natural resources that America, the United States, has from sea to shining sea, the natural resources that God has given us is incredible. The oil reserves and the natural gas reserves and the coal. And the United States is one of the biggest producers of coal in the entire world. Do you think God had something to do with that? I do. The rich soil that we have in this country, the timber that we have in this country. You can cut a tree down. It's not going to ruin the entire environment. We have people today that, "Don't cut that tree down. You're going to ruin the environment." You know how many trees we have in this country? We have plenty of trees, lots of trees. We have an incredible number of trees. God has blessed with the timber and with the water that we have in this country. You can pretty much drink the water anywhere and pretty much be safe, right? Pretty much. I didn't say completely. And so we have these great natural resources that God has blessed us with. We have natural beauty. If you've driven around America at all, you see the natural beauty that we have is just incredible. Kathy and I, last month, we went up to the Adirondacks. I love the mountains. I love, you know, to see those hills and those mountains and lots of trees, plenty of trees. And raccoons and bears and all those things that are out there in nature. But we do have this natural beauty. We have the Grand Canyon. We have the Rocky Mountains. We have so many mountain ranges in America. It's a beautiful place. You don't have to leave the shores of America to see some beauty here. Just the incredible natural beauty. Like it or not, we do have good government. We have a government that was set up on the Bible. A biblical-based government. And if our leaders would just return back to the Bible again and realize that God has given us the ability to have good government and get back into good government again, we could still have good government again. Because God did institute government. It was His idea to put government into the process. Some people don't like it. And no government is perfect, obviously. We have freedom of speech in this country, still, pretty much. We have freedom of religion, pretty much. We have a lot of freedom still in America. You were free to come to church this morning. They haven't locked us down yet, shut us out, come in here, and they've not said anything yet to us. I say yet because you never know. But we still have some freedoms in this country. We live in a country where literally everyone has a chance at something. Right? We have some entrepreneurs in our church. We have some men and some people that have some small businesses. And we have that opportunity in America. If you have an idea and you have a desire and you have some gumption in your soul, you can pretty much do whatever you want here in this country. Within reason, of course. And America gives us that ability to do that. You men have your businesses. America gives you the ability to do that, to have your business, to do what you want to do. That's a blessing. Not a whole lot of countries in the world that allow you to do that, but America still does. But America is in extreme danger today. And America is in an extreme need today of the Lord God to be back in the country again. America is imploding rapidly.
Yeah.
It's imploding. It's coming from within.
Yeah, right.
There are people within our borders that are trying to destroy our nation.
That's right.
And trying to destroy everything about us. Again, as I said, they're trying to wipe out our history. They don't want anything to do with our past history. Good or bad, they don't want to hear it. They don't want anything at all. So America is imploding rapidly, and the enemy is from within, not from without the borders. China can sit back, and Russia can sit back, and all these other countries that kind of don't like us can sit back and just rub their hands together and say, hey, we'll just wait. We'll just wait for the country to be annihilated, and then we can step in and just take it over without a shot being fired. Isn't that sad, though, that we're living in a day and age today that we can see that? I want to give you three things out of this verse, chapter 7, verse 14, 2 Chronicles. I'll just read it again and I'll give you the outline. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We have here the people, the program, and the promise. The people, the program, and the promise in this one little verse. We're going to talk about those three things here today. Who are the people? If my people. Now, you see the very first word of verse 14? What's the very first word? If. This is a conditional verse. If. See, if you don't ever do that, is God obligated to step in and do anything? No, it's not at all. He says, if my people. Now, who is God's people? I know it's Israel. I know it's the Hebrews. And I know that that's who God was literally speaking. He was audibly speaking to Solomon as the king of Israel at this time. He was talking directly to Solomon. He was conveying a message to that king, the king of Israel, that was there at that particular time. God gave that message to Solomon. But we can spiritually look at this and say, wait a minute, we belong to God. Don't we belong to God? Are you God's people today? If you're saved, you are the called. You are God's people. And so I can say that this verse was, yes, thousands of years ago, but I can also say, well, God, would you do that today?
Amen.
God, or could you do that today? And I believe that He can.
Amen.
And I believe that He will. If my people, which are called by my name. And so we have the called, we have the people. And again, this, I believe, is the saved people of this country. We could make a great change in this country if we just arise to the occasion to do that. If my people, which are called by my name. I want you to go over to Romans chapter 1. As we look at the called, who are the called according to the New Testament? Who are the called today since Solomon is dead and gone? And I know that we know and we believe that Israel is still God's chosen people. No problem with that. I don't have any issues with that whatsoever. I believe that the Jewish nation is a blessed nation of God.
Amen.
And I believe that during the tribulation period, they will return back to. They'll recognize who the true Messiah is.
Amen.
It's going to have to take a tribulation period to do that, but they will come back to God. They will come back to, they will realize who the Messiah is. But according to the Bible in the New Testament, Paul, in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, so Paul is telling us that he was called to be an apostle. He was called by God for a specific purpose and a plan in his life, right? I mean, that's what he says. He was called. So as we look at this verse of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name, Paul is saying, hey, I've been called by God. I've been called as an apostle. Look at verse 6 of Romans 1. Among whom also ye, among whom are ye also, what? The called of Jesus Christ. He's saying, listen, I've been called, but you know what? You've been called. Yeah. And he's speaking to the church of Rome as he's writing to this church of Rome, at Rome. He's saying, you Christians, you saints, you are also the called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. What is a saint? If you're saved, you're a saint. That's the biblical definition of a saint, is somebody that is saved. And so, I'm a saint. What do you think about that, Jim? Yeah, right. You're a saint too. Yeah. And as we look out, as I look out here, and as I look at saved people in the room, you're saints. Sometimes we don't act like saints, do we? But we are saints, and we are the called, according to the New Testament. And so, saints, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we are saints today. We are the called according to God. That's who we are. Saved people. Look at Romans 8:28. Probably know the verse by heart. You've been saved very long. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The called according to His purpose. Romans 9:24. Even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So not just the Jews are the called. The Gentiles also are the called. If we're saved, and we are in us saved people, we are the called of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. New Testament has quite a bit to say about who is called. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Paul writing to the church of Corinth. Says in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, his first letter, chapter 1, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Verse 3 just says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the called. We're called to be saints. We are the called of God. And so when I look at these different verses that deals with this particular subject, I say to myself, Lord, I can take 2 Chronicles 7:14. I can take it to heart. And I can see that just maybe if a bunch of Christians can get serious for God and call out to God. And in that next verse where it says, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Not just that place in Jerusalem, but how about here? How about the church down the road? How about the church in the next town, in the next city, in the next state? How about if all of our churches got serious and all of us Christians got serious? Church can't get serious unless the Christians within the church can get serious. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. One more verse on this, 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, or not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So who are the people that we're dealing with in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, which are called by my name, that's me, that's you, that's us, that's those that are saved listening, my people, we belong to God today. Thank God for that. I'm so glad that I belong to God. I'm so glad that he called me. Many, many years ago now, 17 years old, he called me. Well, he was calling before that, and I didn't answer until I was about 17 years old. But he called us. He called you. Thank God for that. You are the called according to his purpose. Does that mean he has a purpose for you? Yes. Does he have a purpose for every Christian that he's ever saved? Yes. If you haven't figured out what your purpose yet in life is, then start asking him what he wants you to do. But he has something for you to do. And so we know who the people are. The second thing that we see there in that verse, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14, if my people which are called by my name, that's the people, here's the program, shall humble themselves. Wonder why he put humble themselves first before prayer. Because pride hinders everything that follows that. Pride hinders praying. Pride says, I don't really need to pray. That's what pride says. Pride says, I can do this. God, I got this. No, you haven't got it. You haven't got it yet. But pride says, I don't need to pray. Pride says, I can handle this problem in my life. I can deal with this thing. I can take care of that myself. Pride hinders the praying. Pride hinders seeking the face of God. You cannot seek the face of God with pride in your heart. And it won't happen. You won't do it. You can't do it. First of all, God will just put his hand up and say, I'm not listening to you. You've got pride in your heart. How can you seek God's face with pride in your heart? You can't. And of course, how are you going to turn from your wicked ways if you've got pride? Pride says, my way's okay. My way's, I can do it. I can do it my way. Pride says, I don't need to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do what my heart says to do. Or I'm going to do what my friend tells me to do. Or I'm going to do what somebody else tells me to do. Pride hinders everything that is mentioned in this verse. So the very first thing that he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's the first thing that we must do. We must humble ourselves. And that's not an easy thing to do at times. We have a tendency to allow our pride to run our lives. We have a tendency to allow pride to run our mouths, to run our thoughts, to run all of our actions that we do. We allow pride to do that. Pride hinders so many things in our life. Pride destroys. Pride sends people to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Pride sends people to hell because they say, I don't need God, or I'll take my chances when I die, or whatever it is that they say. But the program, again, it's conditional. If my people who are called by my name shall do something, we've got to humble ourselves. James chapter 4 verses 9 and 10 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. We have to humble ourselves for the Lord to lift us up. Our thing is we think we're lifted up pretty high with our pride, and so God doesn't. The only thing that God can do is a basis. He can just kind of push us down further and further and further. Proverbs 8:13. Turn there, please. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Of course, arrogancy is a result of pride. In the evil way, in the froward mouth, do I hate. And so we need to humble ourselves in the sight of God. That is the very first thing that we need to do. We have a responsibility, folks. Sometimes people think they don't have any responsibility whatsoever. But we have a responsibility. We have more things to do in this verse than God has to do. There are four things that God spells out that we need to do. And that's number one is to humble. Number two is to pray. Pray. And pray. Humble themselves and pray. Prayer is how we talk to God. Prayer is fellowship with the Lord. That's what prayer is. It's talking to God. It's pouring your heart out to God. It's asking God to help in situations. It's praying for our leaders in the country. It's praying for some of this stuff that's going on. It's prayer is how we get God's attention. Again, I love verse 15. My ears shall be opened and my eyes shall be opened, my ears attent unto your prayer. I'm just waiting. You think that if thousands of people across the land of America just did this verse, don't you think it'd get God's attention? Don't you think maybe God then would step in and do his part? He's waiting for us to do our part. That's what he's doing, but we need to pray. Prayer is the way that we have fellowship with God. We are commanded in the Bible to pray. 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. To be in an attitude of prayer all the time. Being talking to God, driving down the road, sitting in your house, lying down, whatever it is. We need to be in that attitude. It doesn't mean you got to be on your knees 24 hours a day praying. You can't do that. But it's being in an attitude of prayer. And so we are to be praying without ceasing. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. When you pray, are you thankful when you pray? Do you thank God for anything in your prayer? Or is it gimme, 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 gimme? So many people, that's what it is. It's God, gimme, God, gimme, God, gimme. I need this. God, I need that. I need that. And I sometimes wonder if God just gets tired of hearing the gimme, gimme, gimmes. And what he wants to hear is praise and thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is part of humility. Pride says, give me. Humility says, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for whatever it is that I have. Just thank you. Thank you for the sunshine today. Thank you for the sun coming up this morning. Thank you that I was able to get out of bed and, you know, put some clothes on and come to church. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get here safely. Thank you, Lord, whatever. I mean, just you kind of fill in the blank. Do you ever just thank him for your salvation, forgiveness, fellowship? Thank him for the church. Thank him for the Bible. Thank him for prayer. You thank him that God gave you the ability to give yourself. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Peter says this, and then he says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. It's interesting that he says, but the end of all things is at hand. And I don't know about you, but we can see the end of things coming in our own future at times. So what do? Well, we need to be sober. That means serious. And then we need to watch unto prayer. We need to be prayerful. Prayerful. We need to be prayerful all the time. Can God heal this land? He can. He can. He will, and he would, if we have enough people called by his name, humbling and praying. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. We live in an instant society. But you know one of the greatest instant things we have? Is the ability to pray. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in your life, you can pray. You can pray. And I'm sure that many of you have done that. I know I have. We have that privilege to be able to just call on God at any time, day or night. Do you ever just wake up in the middle of the night? Can't get back to sleep? Best thing to do is start praying. Amen. Not asking for you, but praying for other people that God puts on your heart and on your mind. Luke 18:1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." The third thing that we need to do, according to the plan here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, is we need to seek. 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 It says there what we need to seek. Seek my face. You say, well, I can't see the Lord. I know that. I can't see him either. But I do see him in the Bible.
Amen.
When you open up this Bible, you are seeking the face of God.
Amen.
You are seeking God. When you open up that Bible and you start reading, you are seeking God. You are searching for God. You're looking. You're seeking him. And you'll find him in this book. You won't find him in a cloud somewhere. You won't find him in a, you know, oh, I think I saw God in the carpet there, you know. I've had people tell me that. I saw God in the carpet. I just saw his face. No, you didn't see God. You saw a dirty spot in the carpet. That's what you saw. But when you open up this Bible, you are seeking God's face. You are looking for him, and you're seeking him. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 40 and 41 says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." Search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord, is what he says. Deuteronomy, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I've got all these scriptures. For the sake of time, I'm trying to go through them quickly because I'm running out of time. But Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse 29. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if, from thence, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If," there's those little conditional words again, "if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Do you really seek the Lord? Do you spend time every day seeking God in his word and through prayer and through fellowship? Are you seeking the Lord? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, look at it. Two verses here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verses 10 and 11. 1 Chronicles 16:10-11. "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually." That's what David was saying for us to do. That's what we need to be doing constantly, is seeking the Lord. When you seek the Lord, the Bible even says you'll rejoice at that. I think we have a lot of sad Christians today because they're not seeking the Lord. They're seeking the wrong things in life. They're not seeking God. Psalm 34 and verse 10. Psalm 34, verse 10. I'm going to turn to it and read it. Psalm 34, verse 10. "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." That means you'll not have any needs of any good things. If you're seeking God, he's going to protect and give you everything that you need. Thank God for that. What a blessing. And then our directive there in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And so we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. Secondly, third, we seek the Lord. And then fourthly, we turn from our wicked ways. It says, turn from their wicked ways. But you know who he's talking to? God's people. God's people. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." We've got to turn from our own wicked ways. We need to repent. That's what that word means. It means repent. Repent. Turn from what you're doing and face God and do what he wants you to do. Turn. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Confess and forsake them shall have mercy. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a blessing that God pardons us. When we turn from our own wicked ways and when we turn from our own sin and we turn to God, he pardons us again and allows us to have that sweet fellowship with him. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 9, it says, "For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him." If ye return unto him. The people is God's people. That's us. The program is humble, pray, seek, and turn. And then we have the promise of God. The third thing. The promise. What is the promise? God says very simply, he says, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. God, we got to do those four things first. We got to humble, we got to pray, we got to seek, we got to turn. Then he will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God will do his part if we will do our part. God will do his part if we do our part. Problem is not God's problem. Problem is our problem. The problem is with Christians in this country that have been silent way too long and have not taken this verse verbatim and done exactly what God has instructed us to do. That's the problem that we have in America. The only answer for America is God, the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation. God will hear. He will answer prayers. God will forgive. What greater thing than to be forgiven? Right? What greater thing that... What is better than being forgiven? Right. Nothing is better than being forgiven by God Almighty. And he will forgive any sin that you confess to him. Anything. He will forgive you. Cleanse you of that. And then he will heal. A healing that lasts. Not just a real quick temporary healing, but a healing that lasts. Not just a Band-Aid over the problem. If we will go deep and humble ourselves, and if we will pray and we will seek the face of God and we will turn from our wicked ways, God will hear us, he'll forgive us, and he'll heal, the Bible says, their land. Heal the land. I would say that most of you would probably say amen to this, but our land, America, needs a healing. Amen. We are in a dangerous time. And we need a healing. But before that, we need a hearing from God. But he needs to hear from us first. Are we really willing to do what he wants for us? Are we willing to do the program? Are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to seek? Are we willing to turn? I sometimes wonder if we're really willing to do that. We might, if we get in a real dire situation, real dangerous situation, real bad times, if something happens to us, into our life or into our little environment around us, then we might get that. But we need to do this now before things get way out of hand. Things are already out of hand, but things could get a lot worse. They could come to a city near you. In a city, in a town near me. And it could affect my family, can affect your family.
That's right.
This nonsense of defunding the police and eliminating the police, that's exactly what this group wants. Yep. Eliminate our history, then eliminate the police force, and we'll control you ourselves. Extremely dangerous. Don't listen to the craziness of what's going on out there. Read your Bible and understand what God wants. And do what God wants us to do. The people is the people of God. That's you and me. The program is the humble, pray, seek, and turn. And the promise is God will hear, He'll forgive, and He'll heal. It's a pretty simple formula. Right?
Yes.
Then why isn't it taking place?
Right.
It's up to us. It's up to us, folks. We need to get serious for God. It's time to stop playing Christian. It's time to start being a Christian. Father, thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the verses that we looked at today. I do pray and ask that you would be speaking to every one of our hearts, those that are here present within this building and those that are listening online. I pray that you would, Lord, that we would get serious about doing our part, how we need to humble ourselves,